I guess over the years, I've met literally thousands of people like Sam and Peter and Helen, whose lives have been transformed by God. And what I want to do this morning is just to read a very short story from the Bible. It's written by Mark. He was the writer of the briefest gospel. He was a traveling companion of Peter, who just tells us as it is. And he tells us the story of one of the first people to encounter Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, we read this. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the crowds yelled at him. But he only shouted the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "He's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi, my teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus along the road. I guess Bartimaeus was born before political correctness. Now we talk about Bartimaeus, a man who had economic challenges, or Bartimaeus who happened to be visually impaired. But 2,000 years ago, he was the blind beggar Bartimaeus. His disability, his economic status, determined his identity in his society. 2,000 years ago, the religious leaders, would you believe, brought another blind man to Jesus and said, "So whose fault was it then? Was it his or his parents that he should be born blind?" And Jesus said, "Well, neither his nor his parents' fault. But he was born blind that you would see the glory of God." And so it is that through this story, we're able to see something of the glory of God. Now, it's estimated that in the time of Jesus, Jericho might have only been a couple of thousand strong. It wasn't a big place. And so I suspect that everyone knew him, or at least knew of him. I suspect Bartimaeus would position himself at different times of the day, depending on where the heaviest footfall was. Why? Because he was dependent on people's handouts. So on this day, the day he met Jesus, what was his expectation? Well, I don't know, but I suspect it might have been small. I suspect that his hope, his dream, was maybe that he would get enough coins to buy enough food to fill his belly and maybe carry something over for breakfast. I want to ask you a question this morning. You don't need to answer it loudly, but just silently. What were your expectations? Maybe if you're a regular at Ridgeway, you thought, well, maybe this week will be like last week, but wetter. Maybe if you're new to Ridgeway, you would have thought, well, I've never been to a baptism, and it's okay for Helen, it's okay for Peter, it's okay for Sam, but I'm just going to take a back seat and watch what happens. Whatever his expectations were, whatever your expectations are, when we meet Jesus, our lives are radically transformed. Now, because he was blind, I suspect that he relied on his other senses and he felt this expectation and anticipation, maybe even some hostility in the crowd. I'm sure he'd heard the stories about Jesus, because when Jesus came into town, he started to call out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, let's just think about this. those who have heard the Christmas story. What is the name of Jesus' dad? It is Joseph. And here we find Bartimaeus is crying out, "Son of David," not "son of Joseph," "son of David, have mercy on me." Now, why is that? Well, David was Jesus' granddad many, 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 many generations back. He also happened to be the king of Israel, and God had given David certain promises. And one of the promises was this, that through his descendants, he would send a saviour. And so here we find Bartimaeus shouting out, God saviour, will you have mercy on me?" He's calling out to Jesus. And some people are saying, "Shut up, be quiet, we're not interested in you." So why would he be interested in you? What would the likes of him want with the likes of you? And the answer is everything. Everything. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save lost people. He came to seek and to save the least people, the last people. Jesus himself said that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. God came in Jesus Christ, not just for the high and mighty, but for the low and for the needy. And so we find that the crowd said, "Jump up on your feet, he's calling you." And he came to Jesus, but he came to Jesus empty-handed. Now, I suspect that this man didn't have a lot. He was a blind beggar. I suspect he didn't have many possessions. He didn't have a big wardrobe with different cloaks for different seasons. He had a cloak that kept him warm in winter and cool in summer. But when he came to Jesus, he cast it aside. He came to Jesus empty-handed. He wasn't allowing his cloak to trip him up. Some people also suggest that that cloak might have been given him by the civil authorities. It was his license, if you like, to beg. But he was going to Jesus knowing that in meeting Jesus, his identity was about to be changed forever. I was reminded only this morning of a friend of mine who told me a story. And many years ago, he was in the town of Bath. And it was in the days where bankers and brokers from the city of London wore pinstripe suits and bowler hats. And he heard an old-fashioned preacher on the street corner sharing some of the stuff I'm sharing with you this morning. And he made an appeal and he said, "If you want to come to know Jesus, you come and I'll lead you in a prayer." And so just like Bartimaeus, you can have that encounter so you will be transformed forever. And he said that there was a group of bankers in the pinstripe suits and the bowler hats. And one man came forward. And his friends didn't know what to think. They didn't know what to do. And he took off his hat and laid aside his briefcase. And like a small child, he knelt on the streets and put his hands together and gave his life to Jesus. My friend saw him years later. He was still walking with God. He no longer identified himself as a banker or a broker. He identified himself as someone who had met Jesus, whose life was transformed by him. And so we find here this incredible encounter. We find Bartimaeus, whose name was not pleasant. Does anybody know what their name means here? Anybody? Peaceful leader. Does it, Mum? Does it, or does it, Mum? That was a question, that's not part of the meaning. Okay, so we've got lots and lots of meanings. Your peaceful leader. In Chinese, mine means one who ravages. I don't know what's amusing about that, Tricia. This man had a name, and his name literally meant the son of the unclean one. Fancy calling a child that, the son of the unclean one. But we have this encounter, the son of the unclean one meets the son of God, the holy, the righteous one. And instead of now Bartimaeus asking the questions, Jesus asks the questions and he says, what do you want from me? That's an audacious question, but listen to the answer. He said, teacher, rabbi, I want to see. I wonder if we went onto the streets of Wallingford this morning and said, what do you want from God? What would people say? I think lots of people would say a new car, a better holiday. I'd like a break from my boss at work, if that's okay, God. We talk about small stuff. Bartimaeus, he spoke about big stuff because he knew his need. I want to tell you that that banker or that broker in the city of Bath, he too knew his need. He knew that he needed to be made right with God. Now, there is some bad news. The Bible says this, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you're new to church, you might be thinking, I was waiting for that one. And just so you know, I'm better than the person on the left and better than the person on the right. And just so you know, I'm better than you. And if you speak to my wife, she will agree with you. You probably are better than me. But you see, I, or the person on your left or the right, aren't the standard. God is. And the Bible says that we fall short of God's standard. We therefore need to be made right with him. We need him to do what we can't. And so Jesus comes, lives amongst us. Jesus comes and dies for us. Jesus dies and is raised again to eternal life. And as we place our hope and faith in him, just as Bartimaeus did, our lives can be transformed. Last thing, very briefly, listen to this. It says that immediately his eyes were open. Immediately God did a work. Immediately he was transformed. My Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When? Immediately. As we confess our wrong, God is faithful and just and forgives us and cleanses us from unrighteousness. Whether we're a blind beggar man like Bartimaeus or a broker or a banker who seemingly has got it all together, God sees us as we come to him open-hearted and empty-handed and fills us with forgiveness, with love, with grace. He transforms us not from the outside in, but changes us from the inside out. Immediately he could see, and listen, he followed Jesus along the way. I've never seen this until a couple of days ago. The early disciples, the early followers of Jesus, were not known as Christians then. They were called as followers of the way. This man had a new identity. He didn't have that expectation at the start of the day, and I don't know what your expectation was, but the truth is this, that you can come in one person and you can walk out another with a new identity, with a new sense of purpose, with joy, with forgiveness, with a relationship with the God who has eternally loved you, who wants you to be eternally secure in him. That's the difference that Helen has testified to, the difference that Peter testifies to, the difference that Sam testifies to, and the difference I've seen in thousands of people as they've placed their faith and hope in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus today, then today is the day where you too can have this personal encounter when your life will be transformed forever. I just want us to be still for a moment. And children, if you could listen just for one moment, that would be so appreciated. You've been so, so good. Just a very simple prayer we lead people in. Just using three words we use on a daily basis. And the first is sorry. And the second is thank you. And the third is please. We need to come before God. And we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. For the ways in which I've failed. For the times I fall short of your glory. But I thank you for Jesus, for his life and for his death upon a cross in my place, that I could be forgiven and a relationship could be restored with you. And so please, just like you did with the banker, just like you did with Bartimaeus, would you bring transformation in my life? In Jesus' name. Amen. You may have never prayed that prayer. And if you've never prayed it before, I'd love you to come to speak to me or one of the team here at Ridgeway. And we'd love to explain more what it means to follow Jesus. We're going to sing a last